Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Whew, a whole lot of history going down tonight. That was a fun way to win a series. 13th shutout of the year, third most in baseball. That's the seventh in the second half. That's the most in baseball. Jackson Churio is the youngest 2020 player ever. He did it at the age of 20. Also, you had a run score on a wild pitch without a hit. You had strikeouts galore. Frankie was fantastic. Ashby was great. McGill was disgusting. And Williams got another save. This is how you draw it up to get back on track, a series win for the Brewers as they head on to a very important 10-game stretch here. Diamondbacks, Phillies, Diamondbacks, 08. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Jerry Augustine is with us. Augie, the magic number improves to 7. It is virtually certain that the Brewers are going to clinch at home next week. They can't clinch before the road trip ends. So, the Brewers getting some momentum going in the right track, heading into this big series with the Diamondbacks, because the Brewers want to clinch as soon as possible, obviously. And furthermore, the Diamondbacks, they want to make sure they keep solid footing in the National League wild card. And momentum is a real thing in baseball. I will believe that till the day I die. And quite frankly, Augie, generating some momentum like they did today, I thought was so important.
I agree. I think what the first thing you do is after they didn't play well against the Rockies, the Rockies were able to win a series against them and not swing the bat very well, not play very well. They go into this into a rough place to play. Anytime you go out west, it's not that easy. But to go in and take 2 out of 3 from the Giants the way they did really turns out well. And I'll tell you what, you talk about this team. And, you know, we're talking about already going into Arizona tomorrow night. And it's so interesting because when you look at the playoff possibilities, Dom, you look at the playoff possibilities, the Dodgers will play the Braves. The Phillies will play the Mets. The Padres go into San Francisco, which is not an easy place to play, and the D-backs and the Brewers play. So the next 3 days are going to be a lot of fun seeing how the jockeying goes for the playoff picture. So you look at going in tonight, getting that momentum like you just talked about, going into the series against the Diamondbacks in Arizona is really going to be an interesting series, not only for just the Brewers and the D-backs, but for the playoff picture in the National League.
I think all of this because Arizona is not on firm footing, and they're going to put their best foot forward, and the Brewers are going to see some very good arms. They're going to see a lefty tomorrow, Eduardo Rodriguez, a righty, and Brandon Pfaadt, who's been kind of an underrated star. He's had a couple blow-ups in there to inflate his ERA. And then Zach Gallen, we know what he can do and what he did against the Brewers in Game 1 or Game 2 of the Wild Card Series last year. But that's getting ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about tonight now. Frankie Montas is the story. We'll get to Jackson in the next segment, but Frankie Montas has been a whole new pitcher since he joined the Brewers, specifically with the fastball. 8 more strikeouts today. He has 18 strikeouts over his last 12 innings. Just 3 runs allowed on the 3-run homer last week against the Rockies. No runs tonight. Only 2 hits allowed. Only 2 at-bats with a runner in scoring position against him. This was pure domination from Frankie Montas tonight. And again, he's doing it with something different every game. He's not just relying on the splitter. The splitter was good today, but all of a sudden the slider showed up. The most whiffs he's got on a slider ever. I mean, this is another unlocked tool that the Brewers have found with Frankie Montas.
Yeah, it's one thing you want to do. They picked him up for a reason. And a lot of times when you go and say, hey, we picked up a veteran pitcher from Cincinnati and Montas, and he can come in and he can give us innings. And when we first picked him up, we were thinking of Frankie Montas as a innings guy, but he's proven to be much more than that. I think when he first came over, because of Chris Hook's relationship with him, they're able to do some things and change him around a little bit. He came in, what was he? He had that good fastball, and he was using his fastball, a little bit of breaking ball, every once in a while throwing that splitter. But what he's done, even from his last start, where he just started threw the ball very well for six innings. Tonight was a little bit different. Tonight was more of a total pitcher where he came out, he used his fastball. He had the good two-seam fastball, the four-seam fastball. He pitched it to all the quadrants, was able to expand the strike zone. But I'll tell you what, the breaking ball, the slider, something we haven't seen from him in his repertoire and his earlier starts, really broke that out tonight. He was a complete pitcher, and I'm going to tell you what, he has opened the eyes of this Brewer pitching staff and the coaches to say, hey, you know what? You got to give him some consideration because of what he's done in the past as a possible starter in the playoffs.
I think he's firmly putting himself in that. And with the news that the Brewers are going to go six-man rotation this time through the rotation, given they're in the middle of this 13 in a row, D.L. Hall is going to start on Sunday. That would presumably line up Frankie's next start being against the Phillies, which means two things. That means Frankie would likely start next Wednesday against the Phils. And then, if you want to go back to a five-man rotation, that his next start following that would be against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then you can decide, do you want Frankie to start the last day of the regular season, or do you save him for the wild card round? That's something that maybe, as you start to read the tea leaves here, because Freddie goes tomorrow, and that means Freddie could also be lined up to start the last day, start game one of a wild card series if you keep him on normal rest. So I'm sitting, I'm like, the Brewers are planning things out right now, and the way it looks is Frankie is going to at least be factored in majorly coming up in this wild card series.
Yeah, I think what you're doing here, you're looking at the five starters that they have right now, and you add D.L. Hall to that. When you look at the way Tobias has been throwing the ball, Savelli has been throwing the ball very well, and of course you've got Freddie and Colin Ray. But the one thing you want to do is when you go into playoffs, you want to have the ability to make some good decision on matchups. You want everybody throwing the ball well. You want everybody in the top of their game, and you get the organization make the decision. The coaching staff make the decision on who they match up best with. And I tell you what, when you talk about coming in, I think Frankie Montas has done a really just an excellent job. He's a veteran guy. He's pitched in the playoffs. He understands it. And I tell you what, tonight I thought took a huge step by using that breaking ball. That slider was fantastic tonight. He located it. He expanded the strike zone with it. He got swings and misses with it. And then when he needed to, he came back and he still had that good four-seam and two-seam fastball along with the splitter, which he threw very well tonight. So a total pitcher that goes out and uses all his pitches to command and has that good ability of getting ahead of hitters and expand the strike zone, that's pretty special, and he was that tonight.
And he's also gone five consecutive starts of at least six innings in each of them. And this stretch goes back to a strong start against the Dodgers back on August 14th over his last six starts now, including tonight. His ERA is just 2.75, and he's gone at least five in all six of these starts, at least six in five of the six of these starts. So this has been really impressive stuff from Frankie. I mean, even last week against the Rockies, it could have been even better, striking out 10, just giving up the one homer, a three-run shot. But he's keeping the bat off the barrel for the most part, trusting his defense. A heck of a play by Bryce Terang today, too. And Frankie's going to, on pace anyway, to throw the second most innings he's ever thrown in a season. He threw 187 back in 2021, his best season as a pro with the Oakland A's. And then in 2022, when he was traded, he threw 144 innings. Well, now he's at 138, so he's going to blow past that second rate. And quite frankly, I was watching Frankie in those seasons with the A's. The guy I saw tonight looked like that Frankie Montas that was on those great 2018, 2019, 2020 Oakland A's teams. Like, yeah, this dude is an ace, and this dude is a bona fide stud. And we all know what happened with the shoulder injuries after that. This dude's healthy. He's touching 97. And take us into the mind of a pitcher, Augie, when you know your velocity is there, when you know everything is firing, because he was not having this much velocity with the Reds. He was sitting 92 to 94. He is sitting 95 to 96, even touching 97. This is a whole different guy than the Brewers thought that, or maybe some Brewers fans thought that they were getting from the Reds, because he's looking like Oakland A's Frankie Montas right now.
You know, you sometimes get guys out there, and whether they've been a veteran pitcher or a young pitcher, you go out there and you say they're throwers. They go out and they throw the ball. They have all the pitches, but they're throwing the pitch. You watch and see what they're doing. You watch the sequences. You watch how they're locating the ball. They're throwing the ball. Frankie Montas, the last two games, has become a pitcher. He's become a pitcher that's been able to execute it. I thought tonight, early in the ballgame, he was right at the 94-95 area. But I'll tell you what, he got into the late in the game in the fifth and sixth inning. He had to reach back a little bit. What did you see? 97, expanding the strike zone. That's a good idea to say, you know what? When I need it, I can go get it. And if I have to, I can expand the strike zone. I just thought that his style of pitching, what he's able to do to command the strike zone, pitch at the outer frame of the strike zone, both up and down in all the quadrants, and being able to go in and out when he wants to, you have to understand that you have confidence and you're executing. And I think, number one, he has all the confidence. You can tell it the way his demeanor on the mound. But the execution has really stood out the last three or four starts.
He's been a stud. A couple of texts here, 855-616-1620. If you're up late with us tonight, 855-616-1620. What's Frankie Montas' contract situation looking like, and what are the odds that he stays with the Brewers? Slim to none that he stays with the Brewers, because he is an unrestricted free agent next year. He's got a mutual option. Those are never picked up, especially when you've been traded. It's a mutual option for $20 million. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent because he's probably going to want a multi-year deal, given he's proving he's healthy right now. This text from Josh in Milwaukee: it's been a difficult start to the month, so good to see a series win tonight. Talk about a brilliant pitching display from the Brewers tonight. A little bit of defense. Cheerio making history. Can get frustrating at times, but this team has been special. Let's talk about the kid that made some history. Jackson Cheerio coming up next, 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. For the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows that hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We're with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dominic Catronio. Let me read you a list here, Augie. Veda Pinson, Mike Trout, Jackson Cheerio. That is the list of players before the age of 21, their age 21 season, I should say, that hit a 20-homer, 20-stolen-base season. The one caveat, Jackson Cheerio is the only one to do it with the entire year at age 20. He is the youngest player ever to have a 20-20 season. 20 years old, 185 days. He's not even 20 and a half to this point. Augie, I mean, I'm thinking back to May when we were talking about, man, the kid hasn't, he's only playing like twice a week. Maybe AAA's in the cards for him. Garrett Mitchell's getting healthy. You've got Yelly back. And now he's made history here in September. He's batting leadoff, for goodness sake. And the Brewers' patience is being paid off because, my goodness, the Brewers, they have a superstar on their hands. Again.
Yeah, they do. And you look at what, I remember talking, he was struggling. He had made some misjudgment of balls. He wasn't swinging the bat very well, fishing after sliders down and away, and just a little bit of a struggle. And then all of a sudden, he had that little talk with Willie Adames, and some of the veterans stayed with him. And Murph, I'm sure, had a number of talks with him. And all of a sudden, now you're seeing a kid that goes out there and is swinging the bat as good as anybody in the game of baseball right now. And he goes out on the field, and he's just like Willie Adames. He's got a smile on his face. Even when he catches a routine fly ball, he'll throw it in and he starts smiling. There's a guy who now is a young player that has learned how to relax, slow the game down, and take what he's given. And I'll tell you, you've got to be not only do you have to be a special person and a special athlete, you have to have that concentration, that mental aptitude to be able to go out and do that. And it's just amazing with all the things that he's done and how he's doing it and how he's helping this ball club.
When I look at the Rookie of the Year race, this is also a text asking from the 630 area code, what are Jackson Cheerio's chances of winning National League Rookie of the Year? I still think they're extremely slim because of Jackson Merrill's season. What I'm really curious about, Augie, is how many second place and first place votes will he get? Because I do think the media is pretty set on Merrill. However, he's in a little bit of a cold stretch, and if Cheerio finishes epic in these final 2.5 weeks, maybe some of the rate stats change and he can close the gap a little bit there. And also the defense is a factor here too. But I'm really intrigued to see if it can be Jackson 1 and 2, and if Cheerio can pass Paul Skeens here in these final 2.5 weeks. That's another guy that obviously is getting serious consideration, but to me, you can't go wrong with any of the three options. You know what? Maybe you can. I mean, Skeens has been incredible. I'm not even going to talk myself into that take. All three options are good options. But the fact that Jackson Churio, who's already been signed, he's not eligible for any of that. The Brewers wouldn't be eligible for the draft pick compensation or the full year of service time. None of that applies here. So it's not like you're taking something away from the Brewers if he doesn't get top two. But, man, what a race. This is that little subplot of the final 2.5 weeks of the season.
Well, you know, the rookie of the year, that's always something special. And, you know, he's right in the thick of it. Miro's having a great year. Skeens is such a he's just different. He's a different animal and a different from a different time, the way he throws the baseball. But you got to look at what Jackson Churio has done over the year, a young kid coming up to the major leagues and doing what he's doing. And I think the other guys have done a great job, and they and Jackson may not get the rookie of the year, but I'm telling you, I am just so happy he's a Milwaukee Brewer, because he's gone out as a young player and proven that he belongs here, and he knows, he understands it. And every time as the season gets along, I think, Dom, you agree with me, he's getting better and better with the confidence he has, slowing the game down, being confident, having that mental aptitude to go out and say, I'm going to play hard each and every day. I'm just so happy he's a Brewer. And, you know, let the rookie year thing take its place. I think we got bigger things that I think he would really like to do. And that would really need to, once you get to the playoffs, just do something special.
He would be the fourth Brewer ever to win Rookie of the Year on. The others are Devin Williams in 2020, Ryan Braun in 2007, and Pat Listach out of Arizona State University in 1992. So this is it would be a good list to join, and we already mentioned the Mike Trout list that he's in now with regards to the youngest players to have a 2020 season. And the context of the home run was a big moment, too, for this game because, I mean, it was a 1-0 game, and the Brewers' A bullpen was into this contest. You were feeling good, but you're never going to turn down insurance. And Terang gets a tough infield hit there in the eighth to get a man aboard, and then on a 1-0 pitch, up and in, mind you. I mean, to go oppo on a fastball up and in at night at San Francisco, if people haven't been watching a lot of AT&T Park, or Oracle Park now, put one in the jar, I guess, but balls don't travel like they did the last two nights to right field at that ballpark, and for Churio to nearly put one into the cove, mind you, a right-handed hitter has never had a splash hit at Oracle Park in its ballpark history, and he landed it on the dock. I mean, he landed it on the pavilion there. I was like, this kid might do it. He's 20 years old on top of making the 2020 history tonight.
Yeah, you know, you just see how special he is. You know, if he goes up there and take that pitch and hit it the opposite way down, for a home run, and like you said, he hit it up on the dock and swung the bat very well. If he tries to pull that ball, it's a fly ball to left field. That's the aptitude that he's had at the plate, where he slowed the game down. He takes what he's given. And I think when you see the way he swings the bat up there, being able to stay inside that ball and drive the ball to the ballpark was pretty special. You know, you said the guys, Mike Trout and Vada Pinson. Dom, I think Vada Pinson was a Brewer for a while. I'm almost positive he was a Brewer for a short time when I first came up in the big leagues. We'll have to look that up. But I remember meeting him. He was a really good player, extremely a good amount of talent. Back in 1959, he was a rookie of the year. But I think he might have been a Brewer for a short time. We'll have to look that up.
Here on his baseball reference, he might have been around as like a old foe or something. But I don't see his
Yeah.
for so long.
He was for such a long time. But I just remember maybe in just meeting him, he was so impressive. But you don't get any more impressive than Jackson Churio, the way he plays the game, his love for the game, and the way he's going about his business now. He's one of those special guys that can really do something special and be really with this ball club a long time and be a signature player in it.
He's going to be special. A text from Doug. He's looking like Ronald Acuna Jr., which, I mean, that was his comp coming out. And I mean, we said it all offseason long when the signing happened in December, and that was the common comp. And I just kind of was like, let's tap the brakes. He's 20 years old. Let's all be okay. But this has now inspired me to go down another rabbit hole here, Augie, and I'll do this during the break. I'm just going to go ahead and take a look at Ronald Acuna Jr.'s Rookie of the Year and take a look at Jackson Churio's Rookie of the Year, because he's not one Rookie of the Year yet, but you get what I'm saying. They're both 20 years old in the big league. So we'll look at that coming up on the other side of the break and talk about maybe some unsung heroes from this game as well. Brewers win 3-0, another shutout win. They win the series over the Giants. Now it's on to the desert to take on the Diamondbacks. Brewers win. 855-616-1620 if you want to join us. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. We're deep in the baseball reference now, deep in the clicks and the links. Brewers win 3-0 as we'll tie a bow here on Jackson Churio and start talking about some other players. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us, too. Augie, let me just read you some numbers. Acuna only played 111 games in 2018 when he won Rookie of the Year, in part because he had a knee issue that took a month out of his season. Also, he wasn't even called up until the end of April. Different situation than what Churio had, of course, making the opening day roster. So he's going to end up having roughly 100 plate appearances fewer than Churio will at the end of this season. Nonetheless, the numbers are still very impressive. 293 for Acuna for his average. For Churio, at the moment, it now improves. Stand by. I want to get these up to the second numbers for Churio. 272 batting average for Churio. So advantage Acuna there. The on-base percentage, 366 for Acuna. That's freakish. That's 40 points better than Churio. Also, his slugging was over 500, better than Churio. OPS thus becomes better than Churio. But Churio's got the advantage in stolen bases. He's now got 20 homers, which Acuna hit 26. He's going to have more hits than Acuna, but again, with more plate appearances. And the WAR, the wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference, might end up being equal by the end of the year. Acuna was a 3.9, according to Baseball Reference in 2018. Churio's already a 3.6. He could easily get that close to 4 by the end of the year. So, I mean, the comp isn't that far off. Now, Acuna's a freak of all freaks. He had an incredible 20-year-old season. But to even be in the same breath is a compliment, meaning that you're not that far off from what Churio's been doing this season.
Yeah, he's just gone out and done something really, really special. Vita Pinson actually crossed paths. He was at Kansas City for his last 2 years, I think 74, 75, I looked that up. So he wasn't a Brewer, but maybe crossing paths with him when he was at Kansas City was so impressive. But, you know, you take the things that Jackson has done, and I just amazed at when you see a guy, when we talked about it just several months ago, that was, we didn't know which way it was going. We didn't know what the Brewer organization was doing. What were they going to do? Were they going to send him down and let him get some work in the minors, or were they going to stick with him? And he had that opportunity to stick with him. He really went out. He worked hard. He kind of had a change of attitude a little bit, where he had to say, hey, you know what? You're going to have your good days. You're going to have your bad days. You just go play hard every day. And I'll tell you what, just to see what he's accomplished, when you see what he's done over the last 70 or 80 games, is just really, really special.
He's been great, and he's certainly in the consideration. He probably won't win Rookie of the Year, but gosh darn it, he's top three. And maybe he can make some noise here down the stretch. Anything can happen. Let's go down the box score here a little bit from a 3-0 win today. Let's be honest, though, here, Augie. The home run from Churio kind of put some lipstick on this one, because it was not a pretty day for the offense otherwise. The Brewers only had 3 hits otherwise to this point in the game, 2 of them coming back-to-back there with the Terang single, then the Churio homer. But the thing that I didn't mind about today's game is it didn't strike out that much. Only 7 strikeouts today, which is not a big deal. They had some bad luck, in my opinion. I mean, I look in the first inning, Mitchell scalds a ball. He goes 0-for-4 today, but he scalds a ball to left that Elliot Ramos still doesn't know how it ended up in his glove. You had a couple of balls hit over 100 miles an hour that you had nothing to show for it. I still think the Brewers' approach was good, again, by evidence of only 7 strikeouts and hitting the ball hard. But sometimes you're in the wrong environment, especially that ballpark, San Francisco, and you claw one out, and gosh darn it, thank goodness they clawed this one out.
I agree with you. I think when you look at a couple guys, one guy that's struggling right now, had two of the strikeouts, and Rhys Hoskins, he's been struggling a little bit. But I really like when they put the ball in play. You know, when you put the ball in play, good things are going to happen. I watch like Terang. He's been swinging the bat well. He's been hitting the ball all over the place, a little frustrated. Finally, the last time around, he just hit the ball so hard the guy could get the glove on, and he was able to get on base and scored the run in front of, on the home run by Churio. But they've been swinging the bat good, hitting the ball to all fields, being patient at the plate when they need to. And they went in the game today facing someone that they had faced before, you know, in Birdsong, who had walked the guys. And I believe last time out, he walked five or six guys, and four or five of them scored and helped them win the ball game. So they showed that patience. Birdsong threw the ball very well today, but the Brewers still put the ball in play. They just didn't have a lot to show for it.
The Brewers bullpen also needs to get some flowers in this one, because Aaron Ashby is a legitimate weapon at this point. He pitches around a base hit and an error, strikes out two. McGill strikes out the side in the eighth inning, and then Devin, I mean, a bloop single from Mark Canna, and then a pull double down the line, but nothing else. A couple of strikeouts as well for Devin. Yes, the tying run came to the plate, but he had it under control. He was throwing strikes. In fact, he threw 18 pitches. 16 of them were strikes. I mean, it was a weird day for Devin to, yes, have the tying run come to the plate, but I thought he pitched really, really well. And, man, you think about it. Yes, this was an A bullpen night, and you had six innings from your starter. You had Ashby, you had McGill, you had Devin. They didn't even use Koenig. They didn't even use Pyomps. You don't even have Brian Hudson on the big league team right now. You just activated Nolly Paredes. You get what I'm saying? It's like, holy cow, this bullpen is deep. It can be somebody different every night.
It is. And, you know, you're talking about the strikes. All three relievers, they threw 44 pitches, 38 strikes. That is amazing. And, you know, you look up and down, the bullpen over the last 13 or 14 games has a 0.5 ERA. They've walked 18 in those 54 innings and struck out 64. But it's been impressive to see the way they've been going about their job. Ashby's come on. He's been dominant, been able to locate it. We're seeing the velocity at 97. I think we even saw 98 tonight in the strike zone. He's been able to expand the strike zone. And one thing you want to do, when you come in and you're a lefty, you want to face lefty, you want to get him out. He's been throwing his breaking ball, just cutting the corners and cutting the zone, throwing the ball very well. But how about McGill tonight? He just came out today and said, hey, try and hit me. And I'll tell you what, he was devastating. The one thing I liked about Devin Williams tonight, he was throwing his changeup when he wanted to for strikes, and that's so important. Having that good command with him is so important. He'll work himself through some tough times. But being able to command the strike zone like you have to, that's so important when he goes out there, and today he had it.
He's been so impressive since he's come back healthy and good to go for the Brewers. And I still can't get over Aaron Ashby, honestly. I mean, like, the dude hasn't allowed a run. He finally only needed to go one inning today. He had been going multiple innings. This is only his second outing in quote-unquote leverage, right, where normally he had been coming in either big leads or big deficits and just kind of like, hey, be the bridge to the end and try to get us home. Whereas to now, I mean, you look at it, since he's returned to the Brewers, he has now thrown 12 innings. He's only allowed four hits, no runs, two walks, 15 strikeouts in 12 innings. I mean, it's a sub-100 batting average. He is not allowed an extra base hit, if I'm not mistaken, or one extra base hit total of these four hits. I mean, the dude was throwing 92 a month and a half ago, worried about his shoulder, and the patience, once again, has paid off for him, too. And oh, by the way, he's a candidate to start next season for the Brewers to be in their rotation. It's just like, oh my goodness, it actually is, it's coming up roses again for the Brewers, and you're looking ahead and you're seeing what you have coming down the pipeline here, and you're like, okay, well, he's getting healthy, and Devin's still here for another year, and you got McGill, who's been great, and you've got Pyomps, and it's just like, oh, haven't even mentioned Miz and Yoho, like, the rich get richer when it comes to the Brewers pitching development machine, because it is humming to perfection right now.
Yeah, it's so nice to see this pitching staff that have so much confidence in what they're doing and understanding and executing pitches. You know, we talked about Montez early in the game, he was throwing at 93, 94, a couple 95s. Well, he got to the fourth and fifth and sixth inning, back a little bit more. He was 96, 97, consistently with a lot of explosiveness on his ball. I tell you what, Ashby was at today too. He threw a couple pitches early, were 93, 94. And boy, when he wanted to, he reached back. He can get that 97. We saw 98. And the upper part of strike zone and swung, struck a guy out. Just being able to have that confidence, go up and be able to go in the strike zone when you need to and expand the strike zone when you need to. I think that's what's most impressive about this pitching staff. They've been able to throw strikes when they need to, get ahead of hitters, and when they need to, they expand the strike zone, and it's really paying off for them.
I'm just – I'm really excited because somebody tweeted it to me earlier tonight. It's like, it's feeling like 2018. And I've been saying this for a few months where the offense is certainly outpacing the starting pitching, but now all of a sudden starting pitching's turning a corner, and you look at all the arms that you have in this bullpen. I mean, you can have a playoff roster that features all of the following: Devin Williams, Trevor McGill, Yoel Piamps, Aaron Ashby, Jared Koenig, Brian Hudson, Anoli Paredes, D.L. Hall. I know I'm missing at least one in there. I mean, it's just like you have somebody different every single night, and you have the difficulty of the postseason that how many games are back-to-back and using the travel days to your advantage, and it's having a deep bullpen, having guys that can go multiple innings, and maybe you have a starter that does like what Frankie did tonight and just dominates, and it's just like, good luck. All you need is three runs like the Brewers needed tonight.
Yeah, and you get, it's so interesting, Dom, when you look at it. Right now, you see they just won a, they won the series. It was, I think it's so important that they go into San Francisco, win a series. They're going into the Diamondbacks. They're facing the Diamondbacks, who are leading the league in the month of September and hitting 281. They're hitting second half of the season. They're hitting 282. They're hitting 286 at runners in scoring position. And number, and lastly, they're leading the league in runs scored. What a challenge for this bullpen. It's good to see, like you talked about, all these guys being able to throw the ball well, being able to go out and being able to execute their pitches. This is going to be a great series. I'm so excited for it because you got a team that really offensive-minded D-backs have been playing the playing very well, scoring a lot of runs against this Brewer team that's built on good, solid pitching, good, solid defense. I think this is going to be a great series coming up.
And they won it for Hank, dang it. They won the game for Hank, didn't they, Augie?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Honor goes to Hank. We talk about something that has been special to a ball club from the very first day when Eddie Cedar found him on the street and brought him in the clubhouse, and he became a brand of the Brewers. It was been pretty special. Hank was a big part of this ball club.
We'll miss that lovely little dog, and what a cool story from some of those odd years in Brewers lore. But, man, Hank was my favorite Hank cameo, though, was the Sandlot bit that the Brewers did a couple years ago on social. And
that was great. You know,
Hank was the beast, and that always made me smile. All right, Augie, we only got one more of these late nights tomorrow, then a couple of normal-ish times on Saturday and Sunday. So get some rest. Big one coming up with the Diamondbacks this weekend, my friend.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I think this is going to be a great series, Dom. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot to talk about, a lot of us talking about the playoff picture. It's going to be a great series. I'm looking forward to the Diamondbacks and the Brewers.
This has been great stuff, as always. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher with us. Good night, Augie. Appreciate you, my friend.
Nice being with you. See you tomorrow.
All right, Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Get a little bit of the out-of-town scores. Not a big slate on the docket tonight. Also, magic number update, what all that means for the Brewers up next here on 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the win 3-0 over the Giants. They win the season series 4-2 over San Francisco. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings is also brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, offering 5% off service for veterans and seniors all year long. And you make sure you mention this offer when you're scheduling your appointment. Visit Cider.com today. That's S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Families helping families since 1912. Really light slate on the schedule out of town tonight. In fact, none of it directly impacting the Brewers, the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Phillies were all idle tonight. So the magic number improves to 7. That means the Brewers cannot formally clinch the division until the homestand. You know, even if they sweep the Diamondbacks and the Cubs lose each of their next 3 games, they're still technically a half-game differential there. So you would have to wait until the next Cubs loss or Brewers win for that to be clinched. But the thing we do know is potentially one of the first wins for the Brewers at home will clinch them the NL Central. So if you haven't got your tickets yet for Monday through Wednesday, what are you waiting for? And then Thursday, the Diamondbacks are back in town as well. So keep that in mind. For the Brewers, though, at 84-62, they begin this 10-game stretch against Diamondbacks, Phillies, Diamondbacks. And this is just going to be your last chance. And I know we've been only talking about preparing for the wild card round. We've always said they're in the wild card round. Well, let's be honest. And we talked about this in last night's program. The nirvana of expecting and preparing for the reality that likely is going to be in the wild card round. You're down by 3 games in record to the Dodgers. However, it's really 4 games because you do not have the tiebreaker. So even if you tie them at the end of the season in record, it would go to the Dodgers for the 2 seed. Because as of now, the Phillies are in the 1 seed, and they have the tiebreaker over the Dodgers. So in the event that the Phillies and the Dodgers are tied, Phillies would be the 1 seed, Dodgers would be the 2 seed. And furthermore, if the Dodgers are the 2 seed, the Brewers in the wild card round would line up with L.A. as opposed to Philly, because the 1 seed cannot face a division winner in the DS, meaning it could be Brewers-Dodgers like it was supposed to be last year, and it wasn't. So that's something to keep in mind as well as the Brewers try to knock the Diamondbacks on their back foot here, as they were idle today as well, as they remain at home for this little stretch. The wild card race looks like this here in the National League. Diamondbacks clear by a half game over the Padres. They're 82-64, 82-65, those 2 games. San Diego is a game and a half clear of the Mets. The Mets are 80-66. They also were idle today. They're getting ready for a weekend series with the Phillies. Then it's Atlanta, a game outside looking in. And if you want to think the Cubs are in it, they're not, but the Cubs are 5 games back, really 6 games back, because they also do not have any tiebreakers over anybody ahead of them in that race. So the Brewers, if they win this series against the Diamondbacks this weekend, right? San Diego, by the way, San Diego is on the road to take on these Giants tomorrow. All of a sudden, if San Diego wins that series, let's say the Mets somehow take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, and the Braves this week, they are currently at home for the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman's return to Atlanta. I mean, you could see a lot of movement this weekend in the wild card race. So it is not going to be settled in the slightest of who the Brewers could be facing in these final 2.5 weeks. It could come down to the very last day, assuming the Brewers win the Central and assuming they are the 3 seed here at the end. So again, the series to watch this weekend, there are some big ones. You've got Dodgers and Braves in Atlanta. You've got Mets and Phillies in Philly, and you've got Brewers Diamondbacks over the weekend in Arizona. Late night tomorrow, one more late night, same time, 8:40, first pitch. We're on the air at 8:05. I've got you for postgame. Saturday back to a normal-ish time, Central Time standards. It will be a 7:10 first pitch on Saturday, and then a 3:10 first pitch on Sunday, all Central times, and we got you covered all weekend long here on 620 WTMJ. Not quite Pat Murphy conversation today. We're going to switch things up courtesy of Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to hear from Frankie Montas coming up on the other side of the break here on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 3-0 over the Giants. If you're staying up late with us or if you're listening on podcast form, I'm Dominic Petronio. Brewers on to Arizona tomorrow. They've got a winning pitcher in tow with Frankie Montas, 6 shutout innings today. Again, thanks to Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is courtesy of his X feed. Chatting with the media, Sophia Minert, Adam McAlvey, Todd Rosiak, all on hand for catching up with Frankie Montas after his victory today.
You know, the strikeout numbers have done up for you 8 tonight, 6 scoreless. But what are you most happy with how you've thrown the ball?
To be honest, not even the strikeouts. It's like the way I feel right now. Like I feel like I can throw any of my pitches in any count. You know, and not just like, because when I got here at the beginning, like the fastball was really good. But like now I got the slider back, I got my splitter, and it's so good. Like when you have the type of confidence to throw.
Do you have stretches like this earlier this season, or is this the first time where it's really felt like it's come together?
To be honest, finally the first time that it's kind of like feeling like I'm going on the right track, and it's like, you know, like 1 hour right here, the next one. It's like consistently like improving a little bit.
What do you think of that play that Bryce Turang made?
It is disgusting. He is really good. I think, to be honest, I think that was a part of the play of the game, and probably what gave me 6 innings.
How about Jackson, seeing what he did tonight, 2020 as a 20-year-old?
Man, I'm just happy and blessed to be able to see that, you know, and playing the same team that he is. I think he's going to be, he's a really good player, and I think he's going to be really, really good. He's going to be one of the greatest for sure.
In your travels, with different teams, long time in major leagues. Who does he remind you of? Anybody?
Not really. I think he's one of the kind. You know, he's just... He's himself. He's the type of dude. He has a really good work ethic. You know, I think everybody's seen him. He knows what he wants, you know, and he's the type of guy that he's trying to get better. You know, and when you have guys like that, you're always going to see him improving. You're always going to see him getting better. You know, and to be honest, 2020 probably don't really surprise me. You know, because like he has the talent to do that and more. So I'm just happy for him.
He's been incredible, to say the least. Again, thanks to Todd Rosiak, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, on that one. Also, one clip here from Pat Murphy on Jackson Churio, continuing to what Frankie was saying there about the young kid.
I mean, it's just an incredible story. You know, I feel privileged to be part of it, to be honest with you. You know, it's like. And he's an amazing kid, which makes it beautiful to be around him. And then to just see the way he just stays after it. You know, he hadn't had the best series in the world necessarily, but just to see him stay after it and come up big like he does. And there's no moment too big for him. And, yeah, that's the 20 homers and 20 steals as a 20-year-old kid. And then from what I understand, he was younger than the other two that are in that same category. So it's like the youngest kid ever to go 20-20 in Major League Baseball. What a, you know. Just an incredible accomplishment.
It's amazing. I can't lose sight of that. It is actually amazing that this kid, who Pat Murphy has not been shy about admitting, like, no, he was benched in May. Like, they were trying to get him on track and how poor it was going in April and learning how to be a big leaguer. And he had talked about that tonight, actually, with the media, too. And he was asked by Sophia Minter, like, hey, what has been the hardest thing about being a 20-year-old in the big leagues? And he had to, like, pause and think and understand the question for a moment and be like, you know what, just hitting overall, how hard it is to hit at the big league level. Because everywhere he's gone, in Biloxi last year, you saw a flip in the middle of June where it like clicked for him. And here, in the 1st of June, it clicked for him. And it's just like, okay, yeah, that's what it looks like. That's how it is to be a big leaguer. And let's also be honest, I mean, he's 20 years old. You hope it's a linear path to success, but anybody who's been in the big leagues long enough or been around players as talented as Jackson, no, it's not always linear. It's just not always that easy. So Christian Yelich said it from the very beginning of spring training. Be patient with him. Let him make mistakes. Let him learn on the job. And it's always hard to learn on the job when you're on a team that's winning. And now, not only has he learned on the job by winning, he's a reason for the winning. And tonight, adding two key insurance runs, joining a 2020 club. Man, what a move. What an incredible young talent that the Brewers have for a very long time here in Milwaukee. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of 11 jerseys flying off the shelves here over the next few years. Play a few highlights for you coming up next as we get ready to wrap up the program. Brewers win 3-0 on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here!
Go! Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Giants, and locked up in a pitcher's duel in this one. Frankie Montas against Hayden Bergson in the rubber game of this three-game series. 0-0 in the sixth inning. Frankie Montas getting close to the century mark. He's got 8 strikeouts. He's got a man aboard dealing with a little bit of traffic, and he's getting some help from his defense.
1-1 to Ramos. Ground ball hit towards the middle. Adames ranging. It's Terang who's got it. Throws on the run in time. Bryce Terang from the shortstop side of second base, able to make a backhanded pick and just enough on the throw to get Elliot Ramos at first.
Jeff Levering's call here on WTMJ. So Frankie exits 0-0 after 6 innings. In the 7th, the Brewers, is it technically a little league run? A leadoff walk for Adames. He got the 2nd on a wild pitch. He got the 3rd on a wild pitch. And then he got home on a wild pitch.
2-2. Bounced in the dirt. That's going to get away and kick up the first baseline. Here comes Adames home to score. Oh, he bounced a slider in the dirt. And Casale tried to block it. He blocked it up the first baseline. An amazing read by Adames as he broke for home. And the Brewers take a 1-0 lead.
Lane Grindle's call there. And it felt like one was going to be all you needed in this contest. Aaron Ashby was deployed out of the bullpen, but allowed a single and an E6, had two men on and two men out. No matter, for the new look left.
Out of the stretch, brings home the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out with a slider. A little bit of traffic, but no problem for Aaron Ashby. Continues his second half renaissance.
And all that was left is for a little bit of insurance. Hey, how about from the kid, Jackson Churio?
Pitch to Churio, fly ball right field. Back goes Yastrzemski, staring and gone! Jackson Churio, liftoff, a two-run home run, and he's 2020 at the age of 20.
Jeff Levering's call once again. So it's now 3-0. Let's keep up the strikeout theme, shall we?
Struck him out swinging. Miguel comes in, blows the fire by the Giants as he strikes out the side in the bottom of the eighth.
And then it was Devin Williams for the ninth. He got two strikeouts, didn't end the game.
Now the 1-2 pitch to Bailey. Ground ball, second base. Bryce Terang is there. Throws to first, and the Brewers have shut out San Francisco. 3-0, the final score.
Their 13th shutout of the year, and their 7th in the second half. That's third most and the most in baseball, respectively. On to Arizona now as the Brewers take on the Diamondbacks over the weekend. All right, let's get ready to wrap things up here, shall we? We've got about a minute and a half left here on the show. We are on the air at 8:05 tomorrow with the on-deck show for Brewers and Diamondbacks. Again, Freddy Peralta, Eduardo Rodriguez, the matchup, righty versus lefty. And then on Saturday, it'll be Tobias Myers against Brandon Pfaadt. And then on Sunday, D.L. Hall and Zach Gallen, and there's a chance that these teams, you know, these matchups repeat themselves next weekend when the Diamondbacks come to Milwaukee for a four-game set. That'll be Thursday through Sunday. And one programming note about Thursday's game next week is that that game has now been moved to Fox, which also changes the start time. So if you're somebody that likes to sync up your television, that game's on Fox on Thursday. And furthermore, if you are coming to the game, it's earlier. It's a 6:15 start, not a 6:40 start, but that's just for Thursday. We'll remind you in the lead up to all of that. The Brewers' magic number is 7. The soonest they can clinch, no matter what happens, would not be until they come back home next week for that 7-game homestand. You should get your tickets now. It's going to be a great week at the ballpark, and we'll have plenty of coverage for you right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel. My thanks to Jerry Augustine. And we'll miss you, Hank. The ballpark pup has passed, but I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.